As a child growing up in Black Mountain, North Carolina, Connie Nordhelm Woldridge loved to escape into her favorite stories, mysteries, and fantasies. While other girls were devouring Laura Ingalls Wilder's adventures on the American prairie, she dove into the fantasy worlds created by 19th century Scottish writer George MacDonald, or went sleuthing with Nancy Drew. Today, the Richmond, Indiana resident and former librarian is the award-winning author of 5 picture books for children and a young adult biography about the life of writer Edith Wharton, entitled The Brave Escape of Edith Wharton. I'd like to welcome to Around Cincinnati for your first time, Connie Nordhelm Woldridge.
Hi, Robin. It's great to be here.
Great to have you here. Let's talk about Edith. Why did you decide to write a book about her?
Well, I guess I first got curious just having read The House of Mirth and Age of Innocence. I was curious to know who this woman was who had written these books. When I read a biography of her, an adult biography, I found that she wasn't your run-of-the-mill boring writer who gets up in the morning, hits the desk, and then goes to bed at night. She did some amazing things. One of the things that I think really drew me to her was the fact that she almost had to escape from wealth and privilege in order to write. You think of people escaping from poverty, but not from wealth. And she did that. She escaped from the expectations of her society. That's what the title refers to. And I think the third thing is there was so much available. She wrote an autobiography. She was a tremendous letter writer. So great letters. It was just possible to hear her voice. And I really wanted to write a biography in which the person I was writing about spoke. And I was able to have the information I needed to do that with Edith Wharton.
By being able to get her voice extracted from all of her writings, you mean, so that the reader could experience really from in her own words?
Absolutely. Not only her autobiography and her letters, but she also wrote nonfiction where you could hear her voice somewhat. And she was also very transparent in her fiction. You want to be careful of taking a fiction piece and saying, oh, this came from her life. You really can't make those close connections. But you can extract certain things and know from when a piece came out, maybe that it had come from something in her life. And I could hear her very clearly in her fiction.
I love how the book opens with
Keeping Up with the Joneses. Yes, I heard it all the time when I was growing up, and I just thought it was a generic term. And when I was doing my research, I stumbled on the fact that Edith Wharton was a Jones. And this was the family everyone was trying to keep up with. And that just fascinated me. And evidently it fascinates other people because they do pick up on it. And it was a great way to begin the book because to understand Edith, you have to understand that class society. And I set the stage right there for that class struggle, the new money and the old money.
And we're talking about late 1800s or middle to late 1800s in New York City, which was money that came from birth versus the Vanderbilts, which was money that was earned.
Earned, and earned money was bad money. The old guard believed that you inherited your wealth. There were other distinctions, too, though. I think the old guard had a sense of responsibility that came along with the money. They were very aware of not flaunting their wealth, and the new money people were all about conspicuous consumption, that they really wanted people to know what they had. They would just really flaunt their wealth, and this aggravated the old money people. It was very much a changing of the guard from that old New York, old money, to the Gilded Age, the new money that was flowing like water.
And Edith ended up living through that transition, and she lived until 1937.
She was 75 when she died, and she experienced that break between pre-World War I, Edwardian society, garden parties, to post-World War I, which was very much more austere, short skirts. Everything changed after World War I.
Yeah,
it was
wrenching
for her.
Women's roles changed, too. She saw women get the opportunity to vote, even.
And she was not happy about that. You could not call her a feminist. She broke ground in her own life, and I think she broke ground for women, but she did not like the fact that women had gotten the vote. She said, I don't have the quote exactly, but she said something like, I hope they're happy now.
What is the most surprising thing, do you think, that you learned about her?
It was absolutely her work during World War I. Here you had this woman who was born into wealth, had servants, 2 houses, a summer home, a winter home. She was in Paris when World War I broke out. She left briefly, could have waited out the war in Great Britain, decided to go back to Paris and set up 5 charities, worked herself, braved the cold of the winters and the war, the air raids, the bombing. It just surprised me that she would do that. But, you know, I think that goes back to the old money mentality, the sense of responsibility. There was a way to behave. And the way for Edith Wharton to behave when she was in Paris when a war broke out was to lend a hand and get involved. I think it goes right back to her training.
Also, wasn't her choice to spend so much time in Europe, besides that she had as a child, was to kind of get extricate herself from that high society, old money New York?
Absolutely. The high society in Paris was very much different from high society in New York. It was very much about money, parties, social events in New York. In Paris, they had these gatherings in homes, and a hostess would invite interesting people, pick the people very carefully, and they were called salons. And they would sit around over, meet once a week or at different times, but very regularly, and they would just have intelligent conversations. And that's what Edith wanted more than anything else, is intelligent talk.
Where do you get ideas, inspiration for your work? You wrote about another pioneering woman, Esther Morris.
Esther Morris, the first female judge in the United States. I get asked that question a lot, and I think maybe there are two answers. One is that every book has its own story about how it came to be, how I stumbled on it. But I think in general, I would have to say that I read widely, weirdly. Most people tell you to read what you write. I read everything I don't write. I read magazine articles. I try and keep up with history, with politics, with economics. And somehow that's grist for the mill when I get an idea that's hiding in the cracks of an economic article or something like that. Those kinds of things happen to me. So wide and weird reading, I would say.
Well, you also, of course, had wonderful exposure to children's literature from your past work life. Just share a little bit about Zena Sutherland and her influence on you.
Oh, Zena was such a wonderful woman. I met her at the University of Chicago when I was in the graduate library school there, and I became her Girl Friday. I sat at a desk outside of her office, typed her reviews, got to unwrap the review copies of the brand new books that were coming in. So I saw them, got to look at them. She took them in and wrote a review, and then I typed the review. So it was very much the time where I learned what a good book was and why it was good. And that was a skill that just has been invaluable to me through the years.
I've been speaking with award-winning children's and young adult author Connie Nordhelm-Wooldridge, whose most recent book, The Brave Escape of Edith Wharton, has received great reviews, including the New York Times Book Review. It's been named to top reading lists and even highlighted in a Psychology Today blog recently. There's so much to learn about Edith Wharton, and this book really opens the door, I think, to her life and her many contributions to both literature and to humanity. Connie's picture books highlight fascinating individuals in America's past. Just Fine the Way They Are is about the National Road, and it's due out later this spring. For more information about Connie Nordhelm-Wooldridge, please visit our website, wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, this is Robin Carey Allgaier.